I'm going to read to you from the Gospel of John this morning, from the fourth chapter. This is the story of a face-to-face encounter with God, the story of the woman at the well with Jesus. Jesus has been out. He is traveling. He is going to Jerusalem. And he travels by way of Samaria, which is very unlikely because that's kind of a roundabout way to get to Jerusalem. And it's a place that is considered unclean for all of those who are proper Jews. So hear the word of the Lord. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water at this well will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." And he told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Now our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." And the woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us." And then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." This is the word of God for us, the people of God today. Praise be to you, O Christ. Amen. This morning I'm going to talk about thin places. This summer we are talking about growing deeper in our relationship with God. And here we have the woman at the well who comes face to face with Jesus. She is face to face with the living God. The conversation that she has with him is the longest recorded conversation in all of Scripture. And in fact, she asks some very important questions about God. Well, that is my prayer for us here at Wesley Church, that we too come face to face with God, that we too engage in a very long conversation. This is only the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, and already Jesus is revealing who he is. But you understand, he hasn't revealed this to the disciples. He hasn't revealed this to the temple officials. Jesus reveals who he is to the woman at the well. She's an outcast. She's a Samaritan. She is not a proper Jew. And Jesus is not put off by her. When he asks her to go and get her husband, the question itself that he asks her reflects that he knows the truth about who she is. He knows what her life has been, and still he does not condemn her. His response is to tell her that he is the Messiah. He is the anointed one who has come to offer redemption. I identify with this woman at the well, with this character in the Bible, more than any other. And though I've only been married to one husband, there have been other things in my life that have taken priority over God. My childhood was very conflicted. I grew up in New Hampshire, and in the midst of some of the most wonderful family adventures, we did a lot of outdoor sports in New Hampshire. My dad was a physician, and we traveled on foreign medical mission in the 1970s, before that was even really popular to do, and we served in underdeveloped countries like Nicaragua. I imagine this. I was 14 years old, and I was giving BCG vaccines, tuberculin vaccines, in the bush villages in Nicaragua. So you take this contrast of these wonderful family times together with a real struggle with those family members who had drug and alcohol addictions. These drug and alcohol addictions left a trail of broken relationships and serious questions for each one of us. Imagine that only 15 years after we were taking those medical missionary trips around the world, my father died of cirrhosis of the liver, the end stages of drug and alcohol abuse. Only 15 years later, he was 63 years old at the time. I think it's human nature for us to want to fix things, and it's human nature to do whatever we can do to avoid pain. And so we make some of the people in our lives, and we make some of the circumstances in our lives the priority. They become the main focus of our lives. They become for us more important than God. And that is exactly what happened to me. I put my relationships with my siblings and my family and all the difficulties that we were enduring ahead of my relationship with God. But during the year that I had the most difficulty, the year after my father died, God spoke these words to me. If you drink the water I give, you will never thirst. And that's when I truly began to learn about God's love and mercy and grace. And God has continued to lift the veil for me over and over again to give me further glimpses of who God is. I tell you that the people who were Christ to me most during those early years were the ones who offered me the most love and compassion, the ones who confronted me most with the truth about who I am, were my children. And in fact, they still are. Yours probably do the same thing for you. Isn't that God's wisdom? Isn't that just the way God acts? To use the people around us to help us to grow and learn in faith. Now, some people do a really, really good job of reflecting Christ for us. Some people help us to get to know God better. And in so doing, we also get to know ourselves better. And it's not always easy. I confess to you this day that I am a sinner and I am deeply in need of the love and the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. I am deeply in need of relationship with Jesus Christ in my life. And I am so thankful for each and every person and each and every circumstance that has helped me and allowed me to grow in faith. I'm thankful that God continues to go out way ahead of me, continues to walk through the difficult places with me and finds me where I am to confront me and to offer me love and mercy and redemption. That is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the good news for me, and it's the good news for you. The term thin place comes from Celtic tradition. A thin place is a place where the veil between heaven and earth is very thin. To be more specific, the term thin place was used first to describe the holy island of Iona in Scotland. In the 6th century, an Irish bishop, Bishop Columba, established a monastery on Iona. And in fact, that monastery, he and his 12 monks were responsible for converting the entire area. It converted all of Northern England and all of Scotland out of the work that came through their monastery. Even the kings were converted through their work. So when you visit this island of Iona and you stand amongst the ancient ruins, there's the standing cross, the St. Martin's cross. I'm wearing a replica of that today. The St. Martin's cross stands in front of the abbey on Iona. There you can visit where the site of Bishop Columba's first landing was on that island. And all of these things just saturate the island with this presence of the divine. There's just a holy presence in that place. But fishing boats are also moored off the beach, and there are little pubs in town. And so scattered amongst these ancient holy places are very ordinary, everyday signs of life. I think they seem to enhance the experience of the divine in that place. When we are in a thin place, we begin to understand and we begin to awaken to the possibility of being connected with something greater, of something beyond our human existence. So I describe myself as a seeker of thin places, someone who looks for places where my soul can receive the living water of Jesus Christ. Thin places are places where one steps out into the unknown and allows God to direct the path. Thin places are places of possibility, and they are places of deep mystery. Mystery in the way that one encounters God. Mystery in the way that God is seen face to face. One day, speaking of face to face, I was on Facebook, and I mentioned that I had encountered a thin place. If some of you all know what Facebook is, it's just one of those internet connections that you can make with people. And so I mentioned I had encountered a thin place, and a friend of mine wrote back and she said, "Oh no, let's thicken that place up with some love. Let's thicken that place up with some peace." Well, thin places are exactly that. They are places that are thick with love and with peace. The woman at the well encountered a thin place. The veil between heaven and earth was lifted, and she was face to face with the living God. And her life took on new character. This woman who had spent years as an outcast from her community, she left Jesus at the well that day, and she went straight back to her village, to the very people that had rejected and insulted her, and she brought them to meet Jesus so they too could be redeemed, so their lives could take on new possibilities as well. Thin places are places where new life and new possibility are revealed. My call to ministry is a thin place. I'll share with you that I began as a nurse. I'm a labor and delivery room nurse, and understand very much my one of my gifts to be work in healing and to be working with God in offering healing. Well, in labor and delivery, you can imagine that's kind of an obvious place for new life to come forth, right? What I learned while I was working in labor and delivery, that the most important things that you can do with people who are in crisis is to breathe with them, to talk with them about their choices, to help them to change their position so that they can see their circumstances and facilitate the work of new life coming into the world. And then to wait and to watch while new life comes forth. And that is exactly what my call to the church is about. It's about breathing with you all. It's about talking about the way God is at work and helping to look at our perspective from God-oriented ways, and waiting with you to watch God bring new life into our world. Thin places are those places that just when you think there are no possibilities, just when you think that everything has possibly has been done and you have given up hope, that God brings in and offers a way for you to move through whatever circumstance you're in. And it often happens in ways that we don't expect, ways that we don't plan. Our oldest son, Eric, was born with no hearing in his left ear. Now, this was something that we were told we could not really do anything about. He had seen several physicians and been offered different kinds of treatment, and he was just at a place where he was going to live out his life with no hearing in this left ear. And I was really concerned about that. I prayed about that situation for him and with him. When he was 16 years old, I got terrified, because you understand at 16 you start driving and your left ear is the ear that faces traffic. And I was terrified for that child to get behind the wheel of a car without any hearing to be able to localize what was coming at him, especially with the traffic in Northern Virginia. Well, I was on a retreat, and I had just arrived at the retreat, and there were 60 women on this retreat, and I didn't know one of them. Did not know a soul in the room. But there was one woman who was sitting in a chair, and she had her leg propped up with some ice on it. And I thought, well, I'm a nurse. She's someone I could probably talk to and do okay with. And besides, she can't get up and walk away, so I'm probably okay to go and talk with her first. And so I sat down to speak with this woman. And God delivered me to a place I never would have expected. She wound up being the woman, her name was Susan, she was an audiologist. She fitted our son 2 months later to a hearing aid that transferred all the sound from the left side of his ear into his right ear. God had delivered us into a place totally unexpected, totally unplanned, and it was a gift and an answer for us for new possibility, a new way forward. Thin places are those surprising places where we do receive healing and reconciliation. Baptism is one of those thin places for me. One of the churches that I served had a young family who suffered from infertility, and we prayed for this family for years, and there was not any pregnancy to result from those prayers. In addition to the fact that they were dealing with this difficulty, the young woman also had grown up in a Baptist church, and she had been told that unless she was baptized by immersion, that God had not saved her. And she refused to be baptized by immersion because she couldn't believe in a God that wouldn't save her because of some ritual that was done in her church. And so this young family wound up adopting a baby girl from China. And within a couple of weeks of them bringing this young baby girl home, they came to me and asked me about baptism. Can we baptize our new baby girl? And I said, well, absolutely, let's talk about baptism. And sure enough, on the day that we baptized that baby girl, we also baptized her mother. Both mother and daughter were delivered into a life full of new possibilities. Healing and reconciliation had been offered on every level. It was a very thin place. Thin places don't happen only at the beginning of life, they also happen at the end of life. Oftentimes we're given great assurances. Hospice care is a place where the presence of God is thick and deep assurances of God are offered to us during that time. The healing that is offered in thin places makes me so glad to have joined you in ministry here, because I know that you have been a healing place for many. I know you have offered healing for your pastors and for many members of this congregation, for this community as well. And it's a blessing to be here to serve with you. And yet, just like the Samaritan woman, we the church today, the whole church, we struggle with outside influences too. We get distracted from God and Christ. We take on 5 other commitments that begin to have little to do with Jesus Christ. We get lost in what we think we should be doing rather than what God is calling us to do. In addition, in our contemporary culture, we get used to the idea of control and success. We think that we can achieve anything through our own work. And we believe that our world values stability and control and disapproves of things like change and chaos. Some of you had told me that it seems like a time of chaos with a new pastor coming on board. But let's not forget that God created out of chaos. God parted the water to make way for all of creation. Just as Jesus delivered the woman at the well into new life and new possibility, God will continue to do that here at Wesley Church as well. Here's the thing. Thin places are not just ancient holy sites like Jacob's Well and like the island of Iona. Thin places are found where God is at work in ordinary people, offering something more, something beyond human existence. Thin places are places of mercy and forgiveness and healing. Thin places are places of justice, and not just the kind of justice that is comes through human laws and human courts, but the kind of justice that stems from human hearts. Thin places are where God's kingdom is revealed through the faithfulness of the church. And this morning, as we set off on this journey, we can trust that Jesus has gone out way ahead of us, that God's grace is out there ahead of us, that God wants to talk in a long conversation with us, and that our future is one of possibility, new life, deep relationship with God and with one another. With Christ in this thin place, we shall not thirst, but we will share in a spring welling up to eternal life.